Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Today we have another special guest in the name of Marvelous Washington, and she is candidate for Riviera Beach Council District 3. And then Calloway and I want to welcome her to this podcast. But I say every single week after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am still thoroughly convinced that we're all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And just a moment in our history as we continue to talk about the city of Riviera Beach and giving a Riviera Beach moment from Deborah Hall McCullough's book. The town of Riviera Beach was supported mainly by tourism and the fishing industry. The town started to grow in the 1940s, and the population increased from 100 to 4,000 by 1950. The word beach was added to the town's name in 1941. In 1944, the Inland City Progressive League was organized in Riviera Beach on the black side of town. In 1949, a cement and steel bridge replaced the old wooden bridge connecting Singer Island to town of Riviera Beach. And in 1959, the residents decided to change from a town status to the present-day city of Riviera Beach. Our special guest today, Marvelous Washington, is a native and public servant of the city of Riviera Beach. Born and raised in Riviera Beach, to local star athlete Eugene Baby Jean Washington and Ann Peterson, she has a special affinity for the city and has raised multiple generations of her family. During her early years, Marvelous not only gained insight to the needs of the community, but she also experienced the benefits of quality youth programming. Marvelous attended the University of Central Florida, where she was a scholarship athlete and a member of the academic all-conference team. This led Marvelous to return to her beloved city of Riviera Beach. She has used her knowledge, skills, passion, and love for 16 years. Marvelous has worked in government, served in nonprofits, a variety of community agencies, such as the West Palm Beach Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Go Delta, and the City of Riviera Beach Community Development Corporation. While her work history shows an array of administrators and budgeting skills, extensive training, knowledge of city codes and ordinances, and many awards, what really matters to Marvelous are the people of her city. And with those thoughts, welcome Marvelous and Mr. Dan Calloway.
Thank you very much, and welcome, Marvelous, once again, and this is just an honor for me to sit and have this conversation along with our fierce leader, Ann McNeil, the creator of this program. I've known your family way before you were thought, because I had Baby Jean and Rough House and when they were little leaguers. So that's how long of course, Baby Jean, you put a listener, that was her daddy, and Rough House was her uncle. And between jobs, catting, all type of sports, and now you are in a tremendous position. Because I think that when you tell us a little about your job on the West Palm Beach payroll, running the Gaines Park, area and part of the whole city. And most of all, secondly, I need you, when you do that, is to talk about why you want to get into public government. First about your, the first part, family right there.
Well, of course, my dad was Eugene Washington, Baby Gene. He used to call him star athlete at Kennedy High School, nicknamed the Great One. He really instilled the values of the city of Rivera Beach in me. Like, I didn't understand the deep-rooted tradition of our residents until my dad explained it to me. When you say it's diamonds located inside us and in our city, they are truly diamonds located within us and in our city. City of Rivera Beach has some unique residents, and we've always took care of each other. Like you said, I work for the city of West Palm Beach. Currently, I'm the campus manager in the city of West Palm Beach. I'm over a community center, and I have a youth empowerment center program that I supervise and instruct. Part of my duties is project management. Lately, what I've been doing right now, though, is that I'm a part of the emergency management team with the city. So with the pandemic has kicked off, our duties were to make sure our residents got the vaccinations. They had access to COVID-19 testing. We also did the boosters. So we're in emergency management right now. And it's funny because before this, we really didn't get into play until, like, a hurricane occurred. We had natural disasters as one of the main things in which we put in emergency procedures. But since the pandemic, that's basically what we have been doing, and we have been doing it well. Through my work with the city of West Palm Beach as being an emergency management team, I have received numerous awards for my management, supervision, and organization of the vaccination sites, how we're registering residents to get them. So I have a vast amount of experience in organization, national disaster response, emergency response, which is why I have a specialization in conflict and crisis management with my master's degree from Nova Southeastern University. So I've been with the city of West Palm Beach over 15 years. I'm a union represented employee, so I understand the importance of the union contract, how it relates to and how employees are treated, and progressive discipline. I've been in union contract negotiations, so I have experience in all of those things. So one of the things people look at is my age and think, oh, she lacks experience. But I've been around the block a couple times, and I have a vast amount of experience in how government policies and procedures work, how legislation is supposed to work, and I hope to bring that experience to our city. Not only that, I plan to service our residents.
Okay. Let me go back, and that would just be on the phone. Number one, I'm the one who named your father, the Great One. That's where that came from me. He was a great leader because, see, Baby Gene was a quarterback. It wasn't at Kennedy. It was Lincoln. He was the first quarterback. See, in 1958, Pop King came over from Belgrade, and they opened Lincoln High School, where Lincoln Elementary School is now, right in front of the Callaway Complex. Mm-hmm. And I graduated from Roosevelt 2 years before that, so I never got a chance to go to school in Riviera. So when I had them in the recreation, he was always the quarterback, and when it was crucial times, he wanted to run the ball, not pass the ball. He believed that he was the Johnny Unitas of football, so I named him the Great One. And he was very political-minded, and I think it was a lot of that might have rubbed off on you. Now, let me get into your political aspiration. Do you think, because you deal with all kind of people when you're running a complex like you're running, and you came up in a tremendous athletic program in Riviera because your traveling girls team, AAU, was one of the top in the nation. I know that. Mm-hmm. I saw you all play. We were up in Philadelphia playing in the Police Athletic League. I sponsored that from the sheriff office. Got on the plane, was up there for that week, and you all did a marvelous job. You were runner-up. I was a little disappointed because we were a few points, should have won the national title. But anyway, I need to ask you, and you explain to the listening audience, your athletic encounters as a youth and now working with so many young people and the parents, do that give you a lot of head up, a lot of experience with so many things to be a politician, elected official with making decisions for so many different types of people?
Most definitely, because first off, I'm a competitor. And let me let you know about a little fact about that PAL Philadelphia trip. We were 12 years old playing in the 18 and under league, and we came in second place, which was magical at the time because we had never left the city of Riviera Beach until Mr. Calloway sponsored that trip to Philadelphia, and we saw a whole new world. And that put us on a stage in which other organizations wanted to invite us to come and play so we could showcase our skills throughout the nation. We actually had a team from Sweden come to the city of Riviera Beach and play us at Wells Recreation Center, which has never happened since then. So it's just a remarkable thing that happened there, and that's what we need to bring back to our city. At this time, we don't have those type of feel-good programs in which you have the committed parents to come in and the kids that take into the program and keep them off the streets and keep them out of trouble. And that type of experience that I have, because I'm also a coach, I also started the Palm Beach Gardens Youth Athletic Association for youth travel basketball. It's still ongoing right now. But I was that person that started that travel program and brought kids from Riviera Beach to play in that program because time and still Riviera Beach did not have a travel basketball program and wasn't interested in bringing one. So my experience
okay.
within the community, I'm listening.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but my experience within the community working with you, working with parents, will transition to working with the residents in the city and ensuring that legislation is passed on the best interest of the residents and not the political side of the city, but we're going to make sure we service the residents.
Well, I'm impressed, and I'm quite sure everybody else. In this day and time, what you came up under, there was many more from the in 1964 when I came back from New York after living there and after being in Europe or Germany in the service after I got hurt in the Pittsburgh Pirates Major League Baseball team, I wanted to come back and give back my experience because being an athlete, right now in 5 different Hall of Fames, and it hadn't been for my athletic ability, I wouldn't be there. I think that people who as an athletic personnel or work into that, they deal with so many facets of our society because you got the parents, you got the kids, you got to worry about the sponsorship, you got to worry about the grade level. You got to sometimes, like I've gone to many, many, many colleges and sending kids off, and I may fly up there to check on their grades and put them in their little place because they're not up there to run all over everywhere. They're up there to get a degree. And that's what happened to you when you went to Central Florida. You went up there and got a degree. You played, but you wasn't playing in those classrooms. I think that a lot of time when people run for politics or some political position, they just throwing their head in there because they haven't earned the right to be able to make decisions for a lot of people because they just don't have that kind of background. I just think that when you come up in these type of programs, you learn something. Now, you expound on that a little more for the public to hear your side.
You're absolutely right, athletes, and I talk about this with my employees that I manage, is that we understand the word teamwork. We understand that sometimes we have to give a little to get a little. We understand that we have to collaborate with some people that we may not want to collaborate with. But in order to do so, it's the only way we're going to get the job done. Athletes understand it's not about I. It's about the team. It's about everybody involved. It's about the community. It's about the representation of the community. Because when you're an athlete and you put that jersey on, you're representing the brand. And when we put that jersey on that said Riviera Beach Young Guns, we represented the city of Riviera Beach. And that has always been instilled in me, is that everything I do, I'm representing the city of Riviera Beach. So when I left and went to college and came back and got my master's degree, I insisted on coming back to the city of Riviera Beach. That's why I purchased a home in the city of Riviera Beach, because I've always been in that position in which we represented the city, and we was always put on the spotlight. It was spotlight on us all the time. And we had to be on our P's and Q's. You couldn't be out there misrepresenting the city. You couldn't be out there because the first thing I'm going to say is City of Riviera Beach resident, City of Rivera Beach, whatever association you have, they're going to make sure they say the City of Rivera Beach because they want to put us in a bad light. So being an athlete, you have that understanding that it's teamwork. It takes a team to do it, and you're going to represent your brand. And that's how. That's what the benefit of is being an athlete running for a position of a public office, because you're automatically a public servant. But that's what we did.
Well, you're telling me there's no I in team when you spell it?
Well, when you spell it, there's an M and an E.
Yeah.
But that me don't mean nothing without the rest of it. So
that is true. And the main thing about it is Riviera, I think it has the ability, because I have a lot of confidence in the recreation director, Richard Blankenship, and I know that a lot of the activities are not being in operation because of the pandemic. But Riviera has always been known to display the talent for everybody can see it. And the city itself ingratiated the activities like that because it's an athletic type of city. I think that one of the things where we are failing on the political arena, and you can bring a lot of change with that. When people get elected, they think that they can swivel around into a chamber, the council chamber, and that's the end of the job. And I think it's good, but I think the TV spoil people. I think that you need to go out on the playground like you were out there for Christmas on the 18th when we play at 6,000, right there where all your family grew up, right across from Goodmont Park, right on 35th Street side. Actually, and grew up on 36th Street side. I think that meeting with the people in the churches and get to know people, the people to know you, not because you're a council person, is a person that is concerned the well-being of the city. That's when I tell police officers, get out of the car, tell them your name, how you doing. I think Boone Dodd was the best publicity communicator we've ever had, because he was always shaking hands and hugging people, kissing the babies and everything and telling jokes. You must be people friendly when you get into a position like that. Now, how do you feel about every now and then, if you elected, would you go in your district at least two or three times a year and have something going on where the people can come out and just meet and give their opinion? They're not going to come before the council. Everybody's not going to go in there. But feel like that, they're going to be embarrassed. They need for you to come into their district, their zone, and you want to get the bad boys off the street? Well, you years ago, you know, when you were coming up, that was the gang. The S Avenue gang, the Broadmoor gang, the White House gang, the Monroe Heights gang. Don't have all that now. But because we went to and fro, stop it. But now it's some problems there. We need to go back to what you, when you were coming up, and you know about that, because you're in the age group of that, you, are you willing to evidently put it in your business schedule to make sure that you get a committee and you go out there and be more community-minded? How you feel about that?
Well, to see, that's what I'm doing now. I did a town hall Water is Life meeting at Arbor Park because those residents experienced the worst quality water in our city. So instead of just talking about it on social media and bashing the city, we did a town hall meeting where residents in Arbor Park and surrounding areas of the City of Rivera Beach came in, and city officials actually attended, because we needed to not only educate residents on maybe, you know, you may see a tent on your water, but it may be something else. We may be getting it treated, or what's the best filtration system that you can use for your water? I'm doing that. Part of my engagement initiative and my platform is to go into the community, meet the residents where they at. We should be hosting meetings in the neighboring parks, in the HOA meeting areas. We should be going out meeting residents where they are. If we truly want the opinions of residents, if we truly want them to have a say in how government works, because if you go into City Hall and those meetings, it's intimidating. if you don't know any better, you go in there and some people get up there and say such negative things, it would scare you away. You wouldn't want to go up there. And usually in the city hall meetings, the same people get up there and they talk. And it's intimidating to some residents who's not used to doing that. So that's why you have to go into the communities and host these meetings at Monroe Heights Park. Host these meetings at Sadie McRae Park because they're more comfortable and more likely to come to that because we have so many different things going on in our life, especially our residents. They work in 2 and 3 jobs. They don't have time to drive to City Hall. But if I can go up the street, if I can walk up the street, I'll be there. And lastly, you said a great thing about Mr. Blankenship. He's been a great addition to our city, but it truly starts in parks. And unless our recreation programs are superb and up to par, our city would continue to fail because the quality of your recreation programs dictate the lifestyle of your residents. And if we don't have that going on right now, he doesn't have a team of employees that's going to work with what he's doing and he's be able to step out the box and offer new programs, our residents are still going to suffer because our kids don't have anywhere to go. We didn't have any family activities. Mr. Calloway, I know you remember the Calloway Angels. We used to have the adult softball games. And as a kid, I played on those teams. I wasn't supposed to be on there, but that was my way of being out there with my family. My entire family was on Charlie's Angels. You know, and we, and that's another legend that we don't talk about, Charles Holmes. But we were out there, and the community watched us play in the park while the adults mm-hmm. played softball. We don't have that anymore. And until we get back to where we tried to, but then a pandemic hit and we kind of scaled back too much, and we need to reintroduce those programs. And our recreation department needs the support and resources just like any other department in the city. They shouldn't be cut. They shouldn't be the first ones out the door. We need to, because it starts in parks truly. Our families depend on our parks and recreation system. And if our playgrounds are not up to par, our programs are not up to par, our crime rate is going to increase. If we lose our green spaces, our crime rates is going to increase. And that's just it.
Well, you ran on the money. Not because my background is recreation. They didn't just, I tell people all the time that when they named 28 years ago, they named it was just Tate Tim. I drew the plans for that back in 1965. And we opened up in 67. Wales and the Callaway complex, which is Tate Gym. I think that when people come in town to move here, the first thing they're going to ask about what kind of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Everybody want to be in a city where they feel safe. And mm-hmm. the second thing they're going to ask about, what about the education complexes, the schools? And third, mm-hmm. what kind of recreation program? See, the law enforcement make you feel good and safe. Mm-hmm. The good schools make you relax that your children and everything don't get a great chance to learn well. But most of all, everybody want to go and participate, whether it's table games, outside, mm-hmm. any kind of thing that you mm-hmm. have for different age group. And make you, everybody want them thinking in their mind they're going to feel good. Because they had a hard day work, the kids was scuffling in school, now they want to go out there and have fun jumping. We need to bring about mm-hmm. back the hula hoop. We made the double mm-hmm. decks. When you all were coming, you had all kind of games. You mm-hmm. got to go, mm-hmm. and we got to have big business. We got all these Fortune 500
yep.
Companies in Riviera. They yep. all should have sponsorship for everything the mm-hmm. recreation department need to do. The city mm-hmm. Payroll shouldn't come from the tax dollar, all that. It should
exactly.
come from people's sponsorship. Mm-hmm. That's what happened when you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and we can go back to that. But, you see, it's mandated by the council. The council needs mm-hmm. to give the city manager, and the city manager give his mm-hmm. Department head to go and get this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
right.
tax us to everything. We got to have
everything.
People here.
Mm-hmm.
All uniforms should be bought by sponsorship. And on those mm-hmm. field, on fences at the park, all they have to do is put
mm-hmm.
up their billboard. They're fine. And every year
right.
they write a check in there. And that's what happens.
Right.
We're not starting something new. We've been doing this for a million years.
Now, exactly. And you hit it right on the head about the tax shouldn't go back on the residents.
One of the things that when we lack people because of maybe their popularity with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we fail to read the Bible or do research and understand that if a person is reared in an area like you've been reared up in Riviera and you participate and then you hold the type of job, your job right now is mandated that you deal with parents, kids, senior citizen, everybody. You have to deal with everybody. So you're not learning how to go and mingle with people because you've been doing that all your life and still as your profession. Now, before we leave and get off, we got about 10 more minutes. I need you to give me your idea with the mayor of Riviera, Ronnie Felder. His father died about 2 months ago. I went through that with him. And, of course, his father and his uncle, Jimmy, we all the same age. I grew up with them. They're wonderful people. He asked me over 2.5 months ago to get involved with his initiatives that he want to put together. And that's what I need for your answer, what you feel about that. He knew we was working with senior citizens, Monroe Heights, the area we call the project down in where Brooks Center used to be Firehouse.
Firehouse,
all that, the veteran project, it was built there in 50, 51. I was in junior high school when George Charles. That's why the streets was named. One was named Charles and one was named George Street. Well, it was made, the company that built them was George Charles. Now, you got home more than 50 years of age. Don't you think the roofs, the floors, the pipes, everything is breaking down, and a lot of those people in there have been living there a long time, and they can't afford to go and have it repaired, and now you got mildew and you got a mold that is affecting people's health. His thing is to get the churches, they give a stipend, whether it's $50, $100, whatever they want to give, once a month, 12 times that, 12 months, and put money with the city. And he's asked me to put a group of people together, not so much because they're contractors, but people who can labor and give back and orchestrate this. Now, why we can't do that? All we need to do is go to what these places, Lowe's, all these people sell material, everywhere, just like you building a home for Habitat for Home. Now, the reason why I went through that, I want to know, if you elected, would you support that kind of initiative? Because we have 50 houses right now waiting for this to get off the ground. Because at St. James Church, which I hope you'll be there next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, when we'll be there in numbers for Black History at Dr. Drayton, Reverend Drayton Church. And one of the things I know Ann McNeil will be bringing a message by Black History, and my job is to bring a few minutes, just a talk about the oval, what is the big plan as an overseer, what Riviera need right now, where we are, where we were, and where we're trying to go. Just a couple of minutes. I'll expound on that next week. I need to know, if you elected, would you join the mayor's initiative to make sure we get that done for our senior citizens and the residents of Riviera Beach?
Of course. And I give you a better idea of how you can generate additional funding for the program. Right now, we every new development in the city, we give a percentage back to arts and parks. I get it. But I think at this point, we need to reevaluate that and talk about giving a percentage back to economic development, infrastructure development, et cetera. Because as much redevelopment we have going in the city, those developers should be required to give back a percentage to the residents. That percentage of the funding that they're receiving to us should go back into redoing the roofs of seniors that's in our community, uplifting, sprucing up areas that's within our community. Our city qualifies for the block grant, for the CBG block grant. And one of my initiatives is to create a housing and economic development department. And the reason why I say this is that block grant will fall underneath that department, and that department will determine what is needed in our city. Right now, that block grant money is being used for a garden located on Blue Heron Boulevard. Now, granted, I believe we need to meet the food desert that we have in our city, but meeting that food desert that we have in our city is getting out, trying to encourage or solicit franchises, grocery franchises, back into our city. All we have is Publix. When I was growing up, we had Pantry Pride. We had a various amount of fruit stands that we can go to and get fresh foods. We don't have that anymore. And putting a garden in our community where residents don't have access to come and pick up the fresh fruits and stuff that are being harvested, because they are harvesting wonderful things, but it's just that residents are not coming to get it. We need to think outside about that. That money could have been used to fix the roofs in our neighborhoods. That money the federal government give us just to build resilient communities. And that's why we need better oversight, in which that money we get from the federal government actually go back into our communities to build our communities up, not for the marshmallow activities, that's what I call them, of these neighborhood gardens, because they're great. And I think nonprofits should partner with us, or some of the universities. I see FAMU is partnering with the city of West Palm Beach to run their gardens. But you had the University of Florida locally that could have ran our gardens here, and it couldn't have cost the city a thing. But we don't think like that. Automatically, we thought, oh, let's use this federal grant money that was supposed to go back to the residents to rebuild the infrastructure, to fix our streets, to fix our homes. That could have been used for that. The American Rescue Act money that we received, I think it was $17 million that they're trying to say, oh, it's going to be designated for the water plant. That's not what that's for. That was for to make the city whole. That was for to give employees pandemic pay, those who got the vaccination, those who worked during the pandemic. That was for residents to be able to apply for if they were behind in their mortgages. They needed utility assistance. Same as what the city of Palm Beach Gardens is doing for their residents. City of Boca is doing with the money that came in. We have to begin to use the money that come in federally for our residents, and that's part of my platform. We have to serve the residents first. Our local clergy shouldn't have to get together and gather up money. It's great. We can use that. We can use that in addition to, but we already have that federal money coming in because of the economic status within the city of Riviera Beach, because of the poverty level in the city of Riviera Beach, because of our Title I schools in the city of Riviera Beach. Federal government and state local governments are giving us money for those type of programs. It is imperative that we get people in those seats to redirect our city manager, make sure those funds go back in the community and not to these fluff programs like putting $50,000, $60,000 into a garden.
Okay.
So see, I agree. I'm for it.
Well, that's good. You know, I'm impressed here. I'm impressed because you, of course, you were director down in West Palm Beach, and you've been there 15 years, mm-hmm. and because you not mm-hmm. only told the whole listening audience, you've always been a vicious person. Most athletes,
yeah.
good athletes, always
yeah.
there. People used to question me about you always speak out. Well, if you've been in mm-hmm. the arena long enough, you're not afraid of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
right.
Muhammad Ali was so great. You know, he was mm-hmm. expounding on he's the greatest. He ended up being the greatest in everything. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you think, you're going to do little. But when you think big, you're going to do something big. I think
mm-hmm.
that is great that you know a lot about the federal stuff. See, because of and 99% of the residents in Riviera don't know anything about where the money, the ad valorem tax and all these other things, where it should go,
right.
what to do. They don't
mm-hmm.
know because of
I have no clue.
And see, sometime we got to go back to the ministers. See, the ministers at the church behind that holy desk is the most important thing because they have a captive audience every Sunday. And we need to tell them to leave from behind that and do go to and fro during the week and tell the
mm-hmm.
parishioners, got there with them, and tell the least, the lost, and the left out, we need to do more for you. And we will do that if you do better to try to help yourself. See, if any time you a person want to help, you don't get to worry about a handout. Give them a hand up and then make them responsible to help someone else. And go back to what the most important thing you brought up was the team. See, the African said it takes a village to rear a child. And that's what we need to do. We need to go back to that. And I can tell you right now, you can call your aunt and everybody who was old enough. When we were growing up in Riviera, we didn't even lock the doors. We looked after each other. We both did it. That was how to look after each other. Now we even got so sophisticated. I got mine, you go get yours. Now that it doesn't work like that, because the Bible says it will be the poor will be with us forever. You're not going to ever get away from the poor. So that's what we want to do. So I'm really proud of you, what you're standing for, what your platform, and I know you personally, if you are elected, you will do that. So you're not going to back off your word.
No.
Mighty Ann, do you have anything to say, because we're going to close it up?
I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. What we've been discussing is really part of the reason why this podcast exists. The hashtag, I am Revere Beach, hashtag Revere Beach Pride. God has prepared all of us, and I think it might have been maybe Isaiah 6 and 8, somewhere around there when God said, you know, who can I send, who will go and speak for us, and if each and every one of us have to answer the call, will we say, here I am, Lord, send me. Because, again, Mr. Calloway, you have raised all of us. And before you, there were those who raised you. And I asked a friend, I have a call before this call, and I asked my classmates. We do a call right before this podcast in preparation for our 50th class reunion that's going to take place this year. And I asked them, I said, you know, where's Miss Dan Calloway on this call? You know, who among us is giving back after freaking 50 years at the level that we could and should? 90% of y'all, you know, are already retired, but how are we giving back? So I'm very encouraged and excited, and I thank you so very kindly for coming on and doing what you do, because it does matter in the lives of, like Mr. Calloway says, the least, the lost, and the left out. So I'm encouraged. I just want to ask you if you have any closing words, and then we can go ahead and wrap up, Mr. Calloway.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys for creating a space for residents to have this conversation. It's a, you know, it's about time we have something where we can have this open conversation, free of judgment, and everybody gets the opportunity to offer their opinion. This is wonderful. I encourage you to continue to do it. I encourage you to continue to have additional guests on there so people can know what everybody stands for. As for the city residents, just get out and vote. I'm a supporter of just exercising your right to vote. Yes, I'm a candidate running for District 3 City Council, but I would love for you just to show that we care about our communities. As our number of people go up in voting, the more resources we get in our community, the more our community matters. Don't believe that our vote doesn't matter, because it does. So thank you guys for having me on. I look forward to March 8th. I see you next weekend, Mr. Calloway. You guys be safe and be blessed.
Thank you very much. And I need to tell the listening audience, Marvis was glad to say she want to sponsor a month. She knows about we feeding sometime putting up to 10,000 to 2,000 people with fish, fresh fish. You got two boats that goes out, and it's expensive with gas and bait and all that. And she already told Potty to come and pick up a check for her time. And, of course, we know that our fierce leader, Ann McNeil, she's always doing that. I mean, here we are. Most people don't even know anything about that. But we do this every month, feeding people. And every month somebody's calling and say, I heard you gave fish to this family in Monroe Heights on the S Avenue. Why we can't have? Audit takes in the name down and address and a phone. And we all, when the weather is good, we got two boats going out there catching fish, and we prepared. the preparation. When they get the fish, all they have to do is put the season on it and the grease there and cook it. The thing that I want everybody, we will be on the air next week. My last remark, we will be the second Sunday at St. James Baptist Church on 35th Street. Pastor Drayton, we'll start at 10 o'clock, and the youth recreation with many of them will be there, and the class of 1972, they'll be there. So if you haven't been to church and you want to go to church and be a part of Black History Sunday morning service, be right there. And we'll have a bus outside with some vaccines from 7 o'clock in the morning till about 3. So God bless you. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Ann.
All right. Thank you.
Y'all be blessed.
Thank you. We want to remind everybody you have been listening to hashtag I am Riviera Beach. Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And our special guest today was none other than Ms. Marvelous Washington, candidate for District 3 Riviera Beach Council. And everybody, same time, hashtag I am Riviera Beach. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.